see everyone here this morning. It's good to have Randy back visiting with us. I thought you looked familiar when you walked in the door. Randy's up from Texas, getting away from the hurricane. So we need to remember all those who are down there. Some, well, actually a lot of people stayed, but there's a lot of sound churches down there in that area that probably got hit pretty bad down there. So we need to not only remember those in the Lord's body that are down there, but also all the ones who stayed and are experiencing what has to be some severe damage from the hurricane that just went through down there. So we need to remember them in our prayers, and Randy, that you'll have a safe trip back home when you decide to go back. So this morning we're going to look at what the Bible teaches about the love of God. Now, if you would open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And we'll read verse 8 and also verse 16. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And verse 16, and we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Our English word love is used in many ways. We might say I'm falling in love, or I love Mexican food. But when the Bible says God is love, what does that mean? Love is an attribute of God. When speaking of the attributes of God, we sometimes describe them as natural attributes and moral attributes. The term natural attributes is a term used to describe those attributes of the very nature of God's being or essence, such as eternal, infinite, immutable, and so on. These attributes are unique to God and they cannot belong to mankind. The term moral attributes is a term used to describe the attributes of God that he reveals to mankind and shares with mankind, such as holiness, righteousness, justice, goodness, and so on. These attributes are not unique to God and should be reflected by some degree to everyone in everyone. We should be like God in his moral attributes. The goodness of God is one of several moral attributes of God. God is good. He deals kindly and generously with all those who are in need. He is the final standard of good. God demonstrates his goodness in five ways. He is loving, benevolent, merciful, gracious, and long-suffering. Love is one expression of the goodness of God. Indeed, God is the God of love. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 11. Let's turn over there. Read what Paul wrote in his farewell to the Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Become complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace be with you all. Love, the Greek word agape, means the concern for the welfare of another. Love is active goodwill toward another. For example, the loving kindness of God focuses on the kind of acts that proceed from God's love. An example is Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 24. Jeremiah chapter 9. And we'll read verse 24. Most of you know I use a New King James Version of the Bible, and I like in the American Standard Version where they use Jehovah, and I told my wife this earlier. I'm starting to go through my Bible, and everywhere it says the Lord, I'm highlighting that in orange, and I'm going to start saying Jehovah because I like the way that sounds better than just saying the Lord. So most of you know that, but when I'm reading this now, you're going to wonder, oh, wasn't it? You know. So anyway, Jeremiah 9 and verse 24. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am Jehovah, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness on the earth. For in these I delight, says Jehovah. Love does not mean unconditional acceptance or love regardless of behavior. Love is not emotional sentimentalism that is better felt than told. When speaking of God's love, we must resist using the trendy phrases so popular in today's culture and stay with what the Bible teaches. God's love is described in the Scripture in many marvelous ways, and we're going to look at some of those and then some examples of each one of those in the Bible. The list that we have this morning is superlative. It is unmerited and undeserving, generous, protective, saving, active, sacrificial, enduring, universal, incarnate, personal, demanding, corrective, and unforced. And we're going to look at maybe a couple of verses for each one of these. Some of them are overlapping, which is obviously due to some of them. But the first we're going to look at, God's love is superlative. Let's look at John 3:16. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Also, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. There is no love on earth like it. Second, unmerited and undeserving. Let's look at Romans 5 and verse 8. Romans chapter 5, and we'll read verse 8. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Also Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And we'll read verses 4 and 5. Ephesians 2, 4 and 5. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. There is no human work or deed to merit His love. Next, His love is generous. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 16. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 16. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace. There is no good gift that it will not give. God's love is protective. Let's look at Isaiah 43. Isaiah chapter 43. And we'll read verses 2 through 4. Isaiah 43, 2 through 4. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you, for I am Jehovah your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba, if I'm pronouncing that right, in your place. Since you are precious in my sight, you have been honored, and I have loved you. Therefore I will give men for you and people for your life. God's love is saving. Let's look at Psalm 51 and verse 1. Psalm 51 and verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. And back to Isaiah, this time chapter 63. Isaiah 63. And we will read 7 through 9. Isaiah 63, 7 through 9. I will mention the loving kindness of Jehovah and the praises of Jehovah according to all that Jehovah has bestowed on us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he has bestowed on them according to his mercies, according to the multitude of his loving kindness. For he said, surely they are my people, children who will not lie. So he became their Savior. In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them, and he bore them and carried them all the days of old. There is no sin that it will not forgive. Also, God's love is active. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Excuse me. There is no good act, no good deed that it will not act out. It's sacrificial. Again, John 3:16, and also John 15 and verse 13. John 15 and verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's own life for his friends. There is no sacrifice too great for it. God's love is enduring. Let's look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And we'll read 35 through 39. Romans 8, 35 through 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, and we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is no obstacle that can stand in its way. Next, universal. Again, John 3:16. Also 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 14. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. It's also incarnate. There is no good deed that it will not manifest. Again, John 3:16, and also Titus chapter 3, 4 through 7. Titus chapter 3, 4 through 7. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. There is no good deed that it will not manifest. It's also personal. And the verse that was in this lesson was 2 Samuel 12, 24 and 25, which I'm going to go ahead and read. But this morning, as I was going over the lesson for class, I came up with another verse that I believe also describes God's personal love for each one of us. So let's go ahead and read 2 Samuel 12, verses 24 and 25. Then David comforted Bathsheba his wife, and went into her and laid with her, and she bore a son and called his name Solomon, and the Lord loved him. And he sent word by the hand of Nathan the prophet, so he called his name Jedidiah because of the Lord. And if I got a footnote in my Bible that Jedidiah literally means beloved of the Lord. As I was thinking about this, how does God touch men personally, or mankind personally? We read Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 7 this morning, and I thought that also applies to this. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Everyone who's alive has a spirit from God, and he touches each one of us personally. God's love is demanding. Let's look at 1 John chapter 2 and verse 5. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. Also chapter 4 and verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Also verse 12. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. And also verse 21. And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Chapter 5 and verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. There is no right conduct not required of mankind. God's love demands righteous conduct. Let's look at Psalm 11 and verse 7. Psalm chapter 11 and verse 7. For Jehovah is righteous. He loves righteousness. His countenance beholds the upright. Also Psalm 33 and verse 5. Psalm 33 and verse 5. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of Jehovah. 37 and verse 28. Psalm 37 and verse 28. For Jehovah loves justice and does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. And Psalm 146. Psalm 146 and verse 8. Psalm 146 and verse 8. Jehovah opens his eyes to the blind. Jehovah raises those who are bowed down. Jehovah loves the righteous. God's love demands obedience to his commands. Turn to John 14. John chapter 14. And we'll read verses 21 and 23. John 14, 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Verse 23, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. God loves all men, but the blessings and benefits of his love are applied to each one of us only when we meet the conditions he has laid down. If the benefits of God's love are not conditional, then universal salvation is the result. A man may be loved by God, but not saved by God, because that man chooses not to obey the conditions and the commandments that have been laid down by God. Let's look at Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. read 21 and 22. Mark 10, 21 and 22. Then Jesus looked at him and said, and this is the story of the rich young ruler. Then Jesus looked at him and loved him and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come take up your cross and follow me." But he was sad at this word and went away grieved because he had great possessions. God's love is corrective. Let's turn to Proverbs 3 and verse 12. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 12. Proverbs 3:12. For whom Jehovah loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6. For whom Jehovah loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. And also Revelation 3 and verse 19. Revelation 3 verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. There is no sin that it will not point out and reprove. God's love is unforced. Again, John 14, verses 21 through 24. This time we'll read the whole. My mind went blank. We'll read the whole story, I guess. John 14, 21 through 24. Mommy. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father. I'm in the wrong thing, aren't I? Maybe not. Okay, let me do that again. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. There is no part of it that is forced upon any man against his will." Yes, God is love. What a marvelous Bible truth. God is unselfish and benevolent in his concern for all mankind. In return, God expects us to be loving. God expects us to have the same kind of love that he has. He expects us to love him and to love our fellow man. Look at a couple of examples here. Matthew 5 and verse 43. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 40, starting at verse 43. "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, and do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect." Also, Matthew 22. Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 and 38. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Let's look at Hebrews 5 and verse 2. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 2. And walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Friend, is the love of God shed abroad in your heart today? Romans 5 and verse 5. As I went over this lesson, I had a thought, and that was, which one of these verses best shows the love that God had for you and me? My friends, that verse has to be John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God gave his Son so that you and I can be free from our sins if we keep his commandments, John 14 and verse 15. Many in the world today say that they love God and they love Jesus, but are not showing that love properly by following his commandments, or their commandments. There is a verse that I often use in my lessons, and that's 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You're being allowed time to obey the will of God because he loves you. He does not want you to perish. Show God that you love him by living your life in obedience. That's the lesson this morning. I want to offer the invitation, if there's anyone here who has not obeyed the gospel of and obeyed the commandments of God in order to have your sins washed away, we can help you with that this morning. If you've obeyed God and you've fallen away or you need the prayers of the congregation for any reason, we encourage you to let us know so that we can help you get back on the right path. And like we read in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, God's giving us time. He's allowing us time to obey his will and his commandments. We're not guaranteed another minute, another second on this planet. We could die at any time. The Lord Jesus could come back at any time. And we need to be prepared. If there's any way we can help anyone this morning, we encourage you to come forward as we stand and sing.